Welcome to Inside Out Radio. My name is Mark Spies. Our show is sponsored by the brand experts at 800 Degrees, and you can find us at 800degrees.com. My host, as always, and producer is Andy Lowe. He's also the guy that makes sure the show runs properly and keeps me on task. Andy, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing great. I'm trying to survive the humidity out here, my friend. It is thick and heavy in Atlanta. I heard some guy on my Facebook the other day say something about he's up in Rhode Island, and he's like, oh, yeah, great training in the humidity. I'm like, man, you don't know anything about humidity. You need to come down here.
Yeah, the thing that's great about it, though, as the temperature goes up, it burns off the humidity. So, you know, you get around 100 degrees, that humidity goes down.
Yeah, I noticed that. I mean, it's like, okay, so, do I want to go out and train when it's 70 and 100% humidity or when it's, 160%? I don't know.
Yeah, we rode yesterday morning, and we started at 6 a.m. The humidity was 94%.
Nice.
But, hey, it was only 78 degrees, so, that was great.
Well, there you go.
All right, so our show is committed to better understanding the changes that are taking place in the marketplace and how that impacts how brands are being built today. Our guest today is Mike Russell. Mike is the president of ETS, or Elite Telecom Services. I've got a great show. And Mike, how you doing?
Doing great. Thank you. A pleasure to be here, and nice to meet you, Mark and Andy.
Excellent.
Well, he says that now. We'll see if he says the same thing at the end of the interview, right?
That's right. Yeah, I warned Mike ahead of time that if he doesn't have long-winded answers, my questions just get harder and harder. So hopefully Mike will have some pretty good things to say.
Well, if not, I'm going to sit over here and look up all his social media feeds, and I'll throw the color commentary in if we get stuck.
I've already got it up. You ought to see some of these pictures.
College days.
Yes. No more. I hit those.
You can pull those down anytime, by the way. I learned that my first week on Facebook. Someone called and said, hey, nice boxers. What are you talking about? I'm like, go to your Facebook page, quick. So I learned how to use Facebook after I signed up. So that's a lesson to all of us, I guess. All right, so Mike, let's start with it with an easy one. Tell us about you and the work you do with ETS.
Absolutely. I formed Elite Telecom 10 years ago, and I used to sit on the other side of the table. I was a C-level executive, and I would always have people coming in making proposals to me, saying, I have the best product out there, and this is the best way to do it. And so when I formed Elite Telecom, I said, I want to put things into simpler terms. In other words, I want to, those phone bills that you can't read and you don't understand what you're paying for, I want to put it into simple terms for these C-level executives to understand their phone bill. But more importantly is, I want to do the work for them. In other words, I want to be their trusted telecom advisor, and I want them to come to me with questions that they have about the phone bill, and also what's available, what's out in the marketplace today. So that's kind of the basis of Elite Telecom.
And you've been in business 10 years. What has changed in 10 years from how has the changing in technology or the changes in technology affected what you've seen over the past 10 years?
It's changed a lot. I mean, 10 years ago, you could get, circuits were very expensive to get, high bandwidth circuits were very expensive to get, and DSL was available back then. But today, we have fiber, we have cable, we have T1s. And the biggest thing is that technology changes almost every 6 months, and there's new products available out there, and the business owners do not understand what's available and what it will do for them. Some of the key terms, today are cloud computing. Sure. What is that? What do we need? Business owners are saying, I don't want a server. I don't want to spend $20,000 for a server, so we'll put it in the cloud. What they don't understand is that it takes up a lot of bandwidth. So their circuit that they had, everything's now slower. Why is it slower? Well, you went to the cloud. Then the other buzzword, is VoIP, Voice Over Internet Protocol. And VoIP is the technology, it's the buzzword out there, but do businesses really need that? And from a consulting perspective, we can take a look at a business and say, you really do need VoIP, and this is why you need it. But most businesses, it really doesn't need the true VoIP circuits.
All right, well, I want to dig in on a question right here, just ironically and interesting. I wish you'd have been here 2 hours ago. We did a noon show today, and the gentleman we had in, Michael Coffey from Cometrix, he's a VoIP expert. So facts over IP, and he was talking about the changes in technology and the future of it. And one of the things that he said is, because I asked him, I said, as a business owner, what do I need to know about this technology? And he said, you need to go to your carrier or your service provider, and you need to talk to them about the elimination that's coming of the POTS network and moving to digital technology. So talk to us about that.
He is absolutely correct. I mean, even small businesses now, T1s have gotten so inexpensive that you can bring the, you can get rid of the POTS lines, get rid of the DSL, and really bring that technology in over a T1 to get you the digital service, to get you the digital internet access at high speeds now. So, yes, the POTS is going away. In fact, they're one by one eliminating those types of older services.
And he said this is saving you money. I mean, this move is not costing you money. It's actually a cost savings to make the move.
Absolutely. Most businesses, you know, they call AT&T and say, I need 8 telephone lines and internet access. And by the time you add in all the fees associated with those 8 POTS lines, you could put them on a T1, almost save you half the amount that what you pay for you know, POTS lines or the old analog service. Absolutely, you can.
You know, it's interesting. There's an oddly analogous thing that goes on in the marketing world where business owners, C-suite guys, people are trying to figure out their marketing mix. Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, and they've got all these people coming at them saying, hey, we can do this for your website, we can do this. And the big question is, what do I use? Do I need it? Do I need it? I would think answering that single question that you mentioned, what they need, and, you know, keeping them abreast of this changing technology every 6 months has got to be one of the top drivers, if not the number one driver, that someone would want to talk to you in the first place.
Absolutely. In fact, we... Telecom Association, or actually the Channel Partners Association, has an annual two annual conferences a year. They're about 6 months apart. Believe it or not, the educational sections from those conferences change over a six-month period. So you may be talking about one technology, and 6 months later, that technology is gone and something else is new. So we're going to Orlando in September, and we'll find out what the latest and greatest is at that time. But you're right, keeping up with technology, what is available out there, how much does it really cost? Do we really need that type of service? That's all questions that C-levels are really fighting with in today's environment.
Is the first challenge even knowing what questions to ask? Well, I guess the better way to put that is, do they know they need you? Do they know this is a service that's out there? Is your first challenge introducing that the category exists and you're here to solve those problems?
That's a great question. Do you need a consultant?
Right.
Do you need an advisor? And I would say that every business does need an advisor, because if you go to one carrier, they're going to tell you maybe a different story than another carrier would, because some carriers have certain products and some do not.
Yeah.
So what are they going to do? They're going to try to sell you their
What's
product.
What's that old adage for, you know, if you have a hammer, everything looks like a nail?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So businesses do need a consultant to come in and evaluate what they're doing and how many people they have and exactly what they're needing. And then to put that and then take that and then go to the carriers and say, this is the technology we need. This is the price point we're looking at, and negotiate on their behalf with the carriers. And that's exactly what Elite Telecom does.
Do most of your target market, do they know they need this? Is this something that they're going to seek out? And then you just come in and answer their, you know, be the solution.
The answer is no. That's what we're trying to get out there. They do not know, because they have people walking in their door every day saying, you know, we have the latest and greatest and you really need to look at this and we will save you money. Well, in true essence, a lot of times they're not saving them money and they're actually trying to upsell them something. But no, businesses do not know that they need a telecom consultant. And what's great about Elite Telecom is we don't charge for any of our consults. We don't charge for any consultation. We don't charge for our audits. You bring a bill to me, we'll take a look at it, we'll shop it out with up to 30 different carriers free of charge.
Wow.
A lot of my competitors charge for that. We do not.
So I would imagine that these other, that their current providers have consultants in-house. So I would imagine that with a larger company, a mid-sized company, they've got a consultant that's, you know, essentially being provided by their current carrier. Is there a recognition at a certain level of your client that it should be an outside consultant?
Absolutely. When you say consultant, it's really a sales executive.
Yeah, I was just going to say, let's distinguish a real consultant from the guy that's probably showing up at your doorstep.
Absolutely.
Okay. I mean,
you got a sales exec, and yeah, that sales exec wants to keep your account because they're getting paid on your account. So a true consultant is someone like Elite Telecom. We're carrier agnostic, okay?
Yeah.
So we will give you the pros and cons of every carrier. They may say, well, that's the cheapest one, let's go with that. Well, let me tell you really what you're getting. Let me tell you about this carrier. Let me tell you about some issues we've had. Let me tell you the pros and cons of each carrier. I could care less which carrier they go with, but I will give them the pros and cons of each carrier and be a consultant as opposed to a sales executive.
Do you see the recognition for the need for this service changing with the size of the company or the industry or the sophistication of the target buyer?
Yes, I do. I mean, I have very large multiple location clients, and they have a telecom person in house, that's on staff. They handle all the phone hardware. But when it comes to really understanding what the carrier provides, that telecom person still doesn't know.
Huh.
They just know they get their phone bill. They know when they, you know, they know they have dial tone at the DMARC, or they know they have internet access at the DMARC, but they really don't understand the true product in the market out there. So, yes, larger companies, anywhere from small companies to very large multi-location companies, needs a telecom consultant to come in and say, okay, I understand what you need. And it's much better when they're larger and they do have a telecom in-house, person in-house, because it allows us the ability for the to talk on a technical level as
right.
opposed to a you know, somebody that owns a company that's dealing in accounting, and they're great doing taxes, but they have no idea what they're paying for
right,
their phone
right.
bill or what they need. So so it does make it easy. But yes, every single level of business needs a true telecom consultant.
Is there a sweet spot for you guys, size of a company or industry that you prefer to work in?
Yeah, in really no industries. You know, the old adage is, when I do my marketing spiel, what does every business need? Has to have a phone line and internet access.
Yeah.
I mean, really and truly, they don't need they might need pens and paper, but they really have to have a phone line and they have to have internet access. And so the questions come out, you know, are you getting good customer service with your carrier, and are you getting a good price? And so those two questions are the big questions that need to be answered.
So within each category, it doesn't matter if you're an IT consultant, a branding firm, every category has what we refer to as table stake attributes, those things you have to have just to be in the game. If you're a bank, you got to be FDIC insured, you got to have ATMs. Then the next level is valued attributes. That's how you set yourself apart from the masses. And the peak of that is the spike attribute. That's the thing that distinguishes you. At the end of the day, that's how you get selector. That's what your buyer uses as the tiebreaker. What have you guys found to be your spike? What's that thing that separates you?
I think it is really using my IT background. I have somewhat of an IT background, and using my IT business partners to go in and meet with a company. And to give you an example, you know, a lot of companies now are still on the old VPN networks. I mean, the old where it's VPN hardware. I mean, there's now MPLS available. It's much less expensive. You get quality of service with MPLS. You can reduce your cost, your carrier cost, and have a much more efficient type of network, especially when you're connecting multiple offices together. There's products out there called network-based firewall, where instead of having a firewall at every location, you can have a network-based firewall through the carrier, which will save you the amount of money. Let's say you have 100 locations, 100 firewalls times maintenance on 100 firewalls. So it's really, I think that what the spike that I get is that I have the ability, I know the products and I know the technology and I know how to apply them to a certain situation. You tell me what you're needing to do and I'll apply the technology for you.
Does that level of expertise rely on, or it seems like it would make it a mandate that your buyer be as sophisticated or sophisticated enough to recognize that level compared to the guy that just came in or follows you for the next appointment?
Good question. Yes, it's. I find a lot that understand fully what I'm talking about, and then I find other clients that say, let me research that. And before you know, they got Google up. And they're, you know, Googling MPLS VPN. Does that really work? What does
right,
that mean?
Right.
You know?
Well, I'd take it if they'd Google it. I mean, we're in the South where it's polite to smile and nod. So half the time, people don't necessarily know. They're smiling and nodding at you, almost like they speak a foreign language, right?
But I've been nodding through the MPLS.
Well, I know, right? Exactly. I didn't want to call you out, but, you know.
Mark knows exactly what I'm talking about. Yeah.
MPLS. Right. No idea.
That's why you have consultants like myself.
Right. But if I'm a business owner, well, I am a business owner, and I sit down with you and I'm really impressed with that knowledge, it would be like sitting down with a doctor. I just got over or getting over a hamstring tear. And I sat down with a doctor and he said to do this, and then I sat down with a physical therapist who said to do this, and they weren't the same. So now I've got to decide.
True story.
Yeah, true story. Who knows better what to do? And I ended up solving that by asking a buddy who's a doctor and a cycling coach. And he said, actually, the physical therapist in this category is probably more qualified than the ortho. And so I had no idea. So I had two experts giving me information well over my head that I wasn't able to sort out on my own. So is there, do you see that in your category where you're working with an unsophisticated but qualified buyer? And you've got to find that way to move beyond the technology. We refer to it as changing the category debate.
Absolutely. We find that a lot because all the carriers' product sets have different names to them. Some of them may be called VoIP, or some of them may be called Simplicity, or some of them may be called, some other technical or some other term that's just really just made up for a product set. So what I'm finding is that I got a call from a client that says, they want to sell us a VoIP system, and I really like this VoIP. And when I looked at the product, it's really not VoIP. It's really just digital analog lines. I don't know why they called it VoIP. But, yeah, I'm finding that a lot of the different carriers, it's just like you said, one carrier will say, well, you really need this VoIP set, but you really need – and then another carrier will say, well, you really just need a digital T1, when in essence it was kind of the same product. It was just labeled a little bit differently based upon what the carrier wants to call it. So when you have a consultant like myself to come in, we know the products from all the carriers. We represent 30 different carriers nationwide. So we have the ability to say, that's really what this product set is this is what you're going to be getting with it.
Gotcha. So that's how you're distinguishing yourself. That's how you're separating yourself. How are you getting the word out there? How are you meeting new clients, engaging new clients?
Well, knock on wood, we have
doing this.
Yes, we're doing this. We have never made a cold call. Never made a cold call.
Really?
My first year in business, I took cold calling for dummies. Took the class, read
realized
the book.
It was for
it
dummies.
Was dummies, and tried one cold call, was blown down, and I said, I'll never do this again. Networking.
Referral. And you've noticed the irony of this, that you're in the telecom space and won't do cold calling.
I will not use my phone to cold call. It's purely networking. I'm a member of lots of associations, chambers, business associations, and it's purely networking. 10 years in business, the referrals are now coming in. So with all the business partners that we have, either on the IT side or the phone hardware side or the consulting side now, that we have a lot of referral business coming in. But that first 5 years, 6 years, very tough. Lots of networking, lots of late hours. Still is today. It's lots of late hours, lots of taking clients out to dinner. But it's purely networking. And then I think community service. I mean, really, we have our name out there. My philosophy is give to the community and the community will give back to you. And it absolutely is true. We do lots of different nonprofits within our business. So the community service portion is huge in my business. And even though you go to a Kiwanis or your Children's Healthcare of Atlanta business a sponsor, even though you don't get business from that, be surprised at how many people think, even in a Kiwanis group that, Mike, phone lines, Mike does that. Yeah, you need to call him.
Yeah. Yeah, I was looking at your website and I went to, I think it was the press section, and it wasn't usually when you go to those things and you look at the community involvement, it seems to skip quarters. And you guys have month after month, it almost looks like a calendar of how often and how frequently you guys are not just showing up to places, but sponsoring and participating in the community.
We do. I empower my employees to do the same thing. I provide them with the time and the financial resources to do whatever nonprofit. In fact, we have a retreat Saturday that we're going to talk about what is the nonprofit you want to support. Don't really care what it is, what's near and dear to your heart. And Elite Telecom will support you financially and with the time it takes to do that nonprofit work. And I just feel like that you have to give back to the community. You really do. I mean, if you have a business that's not doing that, there's something wrong.
That's pretty interesting. We talked on a previous show about living the brand. Last guest who was here works in the marketing and advertising, and he talked about Coca-Cola and how they do a great job of living the brand. And it's not so often we see companies like yours that say that they're involved with the community, and that we dig in a little bit and see, there's one person who likes to run, and so he shows up and does a couple relays for life and says that the company is involved in community service. So I got to ask you, how long have you guys been this involved, and how often are you yourself out there on the, participating in these events?
Every single time, and Relay for Life, my entire company is there.
Really?
All my staff, all their family is there. We involve the families in this too. But yes, every single time you will see me, I promise you, I will be there. Whether it's a golf tournament we're sponsoring, whether it's a nonprofit, whether it's Must Ministries, whether it's a can drive, or we, ask my employees to donate clothes, to Must Ministries, whatever it is. But no, I am definitely involved. You will see Mike Russell at every event.
Well, this is such a great concept because we're hearing more and more of this from companies. Consumers are getting to the point where they don't care as much about what you do as who you are. And they really want to do business with companies that they like who the company is. And, even in controversial times, take Chick-fil-A. I mean, we've seen some people who don't like who they are and have chosen to protest or whatever, but at the same time, we've seen people come out of the woodwork to support who they are. How do you get... I get it for a Chick-fil-A, you create a big media frenzy and, you know, people figure out who you are and can decide. But a company like Elite Telecom, how do you get your customer base to really know who you guys are?
We do it a number of different ways. We have an e-newsletter that goes out. We do direct mail marketing, not marketing, but it's not truly marketing. It's Elite Telecom in the news, and we like to tell what we did, what nonprofit we did. So instead of having an e-newsletter that says, you know what, you really need to buy T1, it's an e-newsletter that says, here's Elite Telecom in the community, here's some educational portions of telecom, and here's us in the community and what we're doing. That's our newsletter. It's not telling you what to buy. It's telling you, here's a little bit of educational stuff on telecom, but more importantly, here's what we're doing in the community and, you know, how we appreciate your supporting us doing that.
There's a word that showed up in something you wrote recently, and it seems to come up in every discussion of marketing, branding, and sales for the past couple years, and that's relationship. It's a lightning rod. It's interesting. There are blogs and websites and white papers and articles and books being written about it as we speak. And it's fun to be controversial, but now there are very respected authorities on either side of that fence, some saying relationship doesn't matter. It used to be all about the relationship. And I got to tell you, before talking to you, I was on the other side that relationship is the... We used to say, or it used to be popular to say, it's the key to getting business. And I would take the counter to that and say it is the reward for doing good work. But I'm wondering if when we get into a very technical category where the buyer doesn't intend on establishing a level of expertise or technical expertise, they're going to start with a relationship and then the business follows that.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that in your category?
100%, it is relationship-driven. Success is relationship-driven. I'll give you a few examples. I work with a lot of IT companies, and they all they want to deal with is the server and the printers and the network. But every single one of their clients calls and says, you know, I need more bandwidth. Who do you recommend? And they say, we trust Mike. Call Mike.
Yeah.
He's going to handle it for you. And if you do, you will have problems. You're going to have phone lines that are going to go out. When it starts raining and lightning, you're going to have power surges. But Mike will take care of you. So it's that relationship with IT vendors. And prime example, yesterday we were at a trade show for the Atlanta Association of Legal Administrators. And there's an administrator that I've been dealing with for about 6 years now. I can't get her service because, you know, you've got a good price. You've got a good product. But you know how many clients she's referred to me? She told me yesterday, she said, you know, you're just the best. Well, I trust you. You know, people trust you. We trust you. So I'm referring business to you right and left. I wish we could do business with you, but you told me we had the best, and you told me we had the best price, and I trust you for that. But so they send referrals to me just based upon that relationship and that trust.
That's interesting. It's, you know, if we rewind the tape here, I asked you a question a little while back, why clients select you guys over your competition. And you said it was technical expertise.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to challenge you on your own answer. I actually think that's a valued attribute in your pyramid. And I bet it's that trust in the relationship that is at the top. It's that spike. They get to that point where, yep, Mike knows his stuff, but I trust him. In a category where we know that you can talk to two experts and get two different opinions and we're not going to be able to discern the difference, it's going to come down to trust.
Absolutely. I have to agree with you because the trust is there, the relationship's there. Therefore, when Mike says, we need MPLS, and Mark doesn't know what MPLS is, you're going to buy it.
Exactly.
Like, yeah, okay, yeah, I trust you. I do need that.
And Andy, you've probably seen this. It's ironic that I hadn't noticed this because I've been professing in a totally different category. As the cycling expert on my block, anytime someone says, hey, what kind of bike should I buy? I've always been an advocate. I say, pick a shop, then pick a bike. You've got to have a relationship with that shop. You got to trust the guys, like the guys, know the guys, and let them guide you through your equipment because it's going to be an ongoing thing.
But, you know, that just goes down to the basis of, you know, we often go out and get advice from people, and we don't necessarily know the basis and viewpoint of the person we're taking advice from. You know, if I go out and I want to get telecom advice from a friend of mine who's got a business, for all I know, he had that sales executive consultant show up and tell him, oh, yeah, you need these 8 pot lines and, you know, you're good to go and I'll make you a sweet deal on it and whatever. And he thought that's great and felt like he got a good deal. Maybe the guy gave him 20% off and it's working, right? That's the big thing. It's working. So he doesn't know any better, you know, much like a bike. I mean, I've had friends who've bought bikes, and they sit on them, and they pedal them, and they go.
They work.
They yeah. work, right? Yeah. But they don't know the difference of what it feels like to be truly fit for a bike,
right?
And on a bike that's the geometry is designed for them. And until they talk to someone like yourself that gets that, and they say, "Oh, that's a different perspective." So until they talk to a guy like Mike, they don't know.
Yeah.
They only know what they know, and what they know is often from the vantage point of someone else who may also be uninformed.
Sure. Yeah, and that's the challenge. Is I think I surprise a lot of the, you know, the people that ask me, you know, what kind of bike should I be on? When I say I don't know, I joke that I'm a little bit like Tom Cruise's character in Days of Thunder. You know, I can ride, but I'm not going to be the. You know, I can't build the car, and I, you know, if it goes faster than it worked, you know, I go in for a refit, and I'm not sure why they're moving my seat up 1 millimeter and the stem down 2. And
right, all that stuff you said about wedge and turn, I don't know what it means. I'm an idiot.
Right. So, but
which is probably one of the truest things Tom Cruise ever said.
Absolutely. Everything else is, yeah, it's funny that he's most honest when it's scripted.
Yeah, and about the bikes, too. Funny story about that. I was doing my couple triathlons I've ever
done. Yeah, you're a triathlete.
Yeah,
I mean, let's don't gloss over that.
You finished.
You've done a 3-sport event, so yeah, we're going to give you props.
When the women start 20 minutes behind you and they pass you on the bike, you know, on the bike portion of the triathlon, you know something's wrong with your bike, okay? The Walmart brand doesn't get it when they've got graphite wheels,
no,
right?
No, it doesn't, right. I love to tell the story of during a mountain bike race, I about an hour and a half in, grinding up this hill, I passed a pro. The pros start before the, you know, the Cat 2. And I let that hang for a minute and then say, and she said, you know, go get them or, you know, that kind of thing. But, you know. Yeah, she was at the back of her pack.
Absolutely.
But it's that same thing that I essentially put myself in the hands of these experts. You know, visited a number of shops, established that they met the criteria. They had several different brands. They seemed to know their stuff. Then I went to that valued level. They were the right type of shop. All of the guys in the store raced or had some racing experience, so they weren't just, you know, next week going to be selling cars and the next week selling furniture or whatever. They were genuinely. So that was that valued set. And then I picked this shop because I liked the guys and I trusted them. I felt that when they recommended a product or a change in something, that it was not because they wanted to sell me something, because they actually thought it was going to benefit me. But it was that trust thing, not the shiny carbon hanging in the window or their cool ads or the other stuff. It was that trust thing.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. You're talking about reputation, and you're talking about trust, and I try to instill that into my employees. And last year we had a retreat, and some of the things you've been talking about, I said, what does Elite Telecom mean to you? And I had my employees there, my staff, and they said, you know, I said, and I had a whiteboard or one of the big post-it notes, and I had it turned around facing me so they couldn't see it. And I said, I'm going to write them all down. This is the start of our retreat. And they said, reputation, trust, care agnostic. Community service, and they're telling me all these things, and what I'm writing on the board, I'm hearing all these, but what I'm writing on the board is Sherry and Amy and their children's names and their husband's names. And to me, Elite Telecom is family, too. Really family.
Yeah.
So, and they freaked out when I turned around and said, this is what Elite Telecom is to me, because it's family. It's all my kids. It's my family. It's my wife. It's your husband. It's your kids. That's Elite Telecom, and I try to instill that family atmosphere into our workplace by having that family atmosphere. And I think by that, it's a fun place to work, makes it a fun place to work. So when it makes it a fun place to work, they work hard.
Yeah.
My staff works very hard.
And that in that big circle supports the relationship and the trust. And
all that circles around.
Right, as people meet these otherwise employees, they're essentially meeting advocates, mm-hmm. and they're out there living the brand.
They're meeting my family is what they are.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so you're doing everything right today, right?
Never. You know better.
All right. In 10 years, what weren't you doing right? What have you changed? What have you improved?
Wow.
For the guys or the person in their second year or considering doing something like this, What didn't you do right at first?
First 5 years, it was me, myself, and I. We had three employees. And me, myself, and I was overworked.
Yeah, one of them is CIO, one of them is CFO, one of them is head of sales.
And the worst thing is when they argue.
Yeah, that's when you need help.
I normally argue with the maid. I didn't want to clean the toilet. That's what it was. But I think that probably the things, you know, business is starting out, you've got, and it's hard to write that check, but, you know, you've got to know when you're overloaded. And I remember going to my wife saying, I really need to hire somebody, but I just can't afford $30,000. That's coming right out of my pocket. It's me. And then the second employee, and then the third, and then the fourth. You know, it's hard. But I think I would have to say, and what I've told other entrepreneurs that are starting out is that, don't overdo it, because you can burn yourself out. And, you know, there's that five-year crux where if you're going to make it or break it, that five-year mark is normally for most small businesses. And I made it over that five-year mark, and it was the sixth year when I actually hired somebody.
Really?
So I knew I was going to make it, so I hired that first person, and now there's five of us.
Oh, that's awesome. I got a similar piece of advice. I interviewed a handful of entrepreneurs when we were considering starting the business. And one guy gave a very odd piece of advice. He said, resist growth. And I thought, well, that's not what I have been reading and hearing, and that seems like what I want to do. So I pushed him on. And what he meant was, don't lease a big space. Don't hire employees. Leverage freelancers and, you know, this type of thing. Just do whatever you can until you've just got to hire that first person, mm-hmm. or you've got to lease the space, whatever it is, mm-hmm. so that it's more of like the water going over the wall, mm-hmm. as opposed to building the wall and filling it up.
Absolutely. And I think I'd have to agree to that. I mean, I started out the house, and worst thing about the house is you have a TV and a refrigerator and a bed there.
Yeah.
You know, you spend more time doing that than you do really working. And then when I did finally move out into a space, it was a free space. You know, it was a space that my friend had an office. So that's how I started. And then I leased a small space, and now in 17 more years, I'll own a 3,000 square foot condo in Kennesaw.
Gotta love that. Yeah, I found that working out of the house, I was great at making excuses for diversions. You know, like maybe I need to think about this, but get out of this environment. Maybe if I went for a run, or if I got on the bike for a little while, that would help me come up with the answer to this. And so, early on, there were a lot of 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. Bike rides and mm-hmm. Runs through the neighborhood. Mm-hmm.
That's a great point, though, and let's chat on that for a second, because we've seen some companies be very successful by investing in the balance of employees. I mean, you're talking about the family being important, you know, and I'm going to go to the physical health side. I mean, you know, we've all been cyclists or triathletes or runners at some point here in this room. I mean, and you got to admit, I mean, there's huge evidence behind the correlation between physical health and happiness and productivity in the workplace. I mean, you know, how do you guys promote that through? I mean, and it may not be let's go for a run at 2 o'clock. It may be, hey, let's just stand up and stretch or throw Nerf balls at each other for 5 minutes. I don't know. I mean, what are some things that you guys do to encourage that in your environment?
Great question. We have a lot of different things. So first of all is we talked about the family, and I remember being in a job where if I had a sick child, I'd have to take a sick day, you know. And we have families in our company, and if somebody is sick or not feeling well, I let them bring the kids into the office. I love having them.
So you get everybody else sick.
Absolutely. Well, I did that earlier this week.
If one of us is sick, we're all sick.
We're family.
That is a strong culture.
Wow. But you know what?
That might be one of the most controversial pieces of advice we've ever had on here.
Every other Monday, we have Elite Telecom lunch, and one of us has to actually prepare lunch. We have a grill. So we have a grill. Now, Amy in my office and Sherry said, I need a stove. I feel like if I had a stove in my office, it would be 3 hours of cooking as opposed to 3 hours of working. But we have a grill, so one of us takes turns. Each of us takes turns every other week, and we cook. And so that's our time to sit around the conference table, eat our lunch, and we don't talk about business. Well, we try not to. I'm sorry, y'all, if you're listening. we talk about, what are you doing this weekend? Where are you going on family vacation? You know, what's going on with your family? So we do that a lot. I encourage, my staff, and bless, they work so hard. They really don't leave for lunch, and I sometimes have to kick them out the door to make them go to lunch. But taking lunches like that. But more importantly is, I started Elite Telecom, long story, but my son had brain cancer when he was five. And I said, you know what, there's a lot more to life than making $150,000 a year and working 40 hours a week. I said, need time with the family.
Yeah.
And I was coaching. He was taking chemo on Friday, and then on Saturday morning we had baseball. And I love being able to, and I started League Telecom so I could leave at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock and be on the field early and get it there before the other coaches got it, and you know, was coaching baseball and coaching softball. So I encourage, and you know, my employees say, "Can I take off?" Don't ask me. Just say,
right,
"I'm leaving
right
at 4 today." Okay? I want you to don't, you know, just put it on my calendar. Just as long as I know, you don't have to ask permission to take time off.
Yeah, I think we're seeing a shift, at least in a lot of categories, away from this factory worker mentality that you have to be there at 8:30 and clock out at 5:30. I used to, when I ran a division at an agency in New York, if I saw my team in their cube or in their office at 2 o'clock, I would walk up and go, "What are you doing? I know you're not being productive here because it was a creative field. Get out and do something. Go to the park. Go to a." I knew they were working. I didn't need to see them sitting in their office to know the job was getting done.
Absolutely.
So I think we're seeing a shift in that where we don't really care how many hours, where they're doing it, as long as the work is getting done. And
have you heard the term? Some employers are going to. We don't have a vacation policy. Have you heard that?
No.
I have no vacation policy now.
I like that.
I really don't. I don't care how much time you take off. I just need you to do what? Get your job done.
Yeah.
That's all I care about. Get your job done. Take 2 weeks. You take 6 weeks. The job's done and we hit our sales goals. Yeah, we may take the whole month of December off.
Well, that's a fundamental debate that has been raging for a few years now, or brewing, I should say. It's probably starting to rage more now. But it's the idea of, and I had this conversation with a CEO that I worked for once. Do you want to buy my time or do you want to buy my result? You know, and I think it's a valid question for a leader of a company to think about. You know, because if you want to buy people's time, and this is what I told him. I said, "Look, you want to buy my time, I'll show up here and I'll punch in when you tell me I need to be here, and I'm going to punch out when it's time to punch out. And I can assure you, when I between the time I punch out and I punch in again, I am not thinking about you. I am not working for you.
Right.
I'm not feeling anything for you. I mean, you get the time you pay for, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. Or if you want my result, then I'll do whatever it takes,
right,
whenever it takes. Mm-hmm. But the flip side of that is when it's done, you know, then I have a little room for me.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting how we're seeing that shift. I've seen it in most of the categories in, you know, in the branding world that I work in. We work with a lot of freelancers. I've got freelancers I haven't seen in 10 years. So we pay them their fee. The work is delivered. I don't care if they did it when we were on the phone and they waited 2 weeks to send it over. Because, you know, it's about that product. It's about the, you know, what they're delivering. To your point, we're paying for their talent, their output, not the hours they're putting in. I have no idea what their bill rate is hourly. Frankly, don't care. So it's, you know, I think we're seeing that shift in a lot of different categories.
I agree.
Well, Mike, what topic did I miss? I think we hit on a lot of things we wanted to, and several we weren't planning on.
That's okay. I think we hit the gamut there. This has been a pleasure. This is a great show, and it's funny, since I got the call, and I think y'all found me through one of my awards that I won. Couple of the awards. I think
notice he said one of the awards.
Couple.
Was that a running award or was that business related?
It definitely was not running. I mean, look at me. Come on. It was definitely business related. But I've started listening to the shows. I mean, you know, something to do. I might as well clog my internet up too, so I can buy more bandwidth for
there
myself.
There you go, right.
But no, I start listening to the shows. This is a great show, and I appreciate being here today.
Awesome. We appreciate having you. So we'll wrap up. This has been Inside Out Radio, brought to you by the Brand Experts at 800 Degrees. Join us each week, typically at 10 o'clock on Thursday. And remember, brands are built from the inside out. It all comes back to that original inspiring idea that became a brand.